Chapter 35, The Photograph. Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all others. Cicero, 106-43 BCE. 4 months after my departure from the hospital, my birth family's sister Kathy finally got around to sending me a photo of my birth sister Betsy. I was up in our bedroom where my odyssey all began when I opened the oversized envelope and pulled out a framed glossy color photo of the sister I had never known. She was standing, I would later find out, near the docking pier of the Balboa Island Ferry, near her home in Southern California, a beautiful West Coast sunset in the background. She had long brown hair and deep blue eyes, and her smile, radiating love and kindness, seemed to go right through me, making my heart both swell and ache at the same time. Kathy had affixed a poem over the photo. It was written by David M. Romano in 1993 and was called When Tomorrow Starts Without Me. When tomorrow starts without me, and I'm not there to see, if the sun should rise and find your eyes all filled with tears for me, I wish so much you wouldn't cry the way you did today, while thinking of the many things we didn't get to say. I know how much you love me as much as I love you, and each time you think of me, I know you'll miss me too. But when tomorrow starts without me, please try to understand that an angel came and called my name and took me by the hand and said my place was ready in heaven far above and that I'd have to leave behind all those I dearly love. But as I turned to walk away, a tear fell from my eye. For all my life, I'd always thought I didn't want to die. I had so much to live for, so much left yet to do. It seemed almost impossible that I was leaving you. I thought of all the yesterdays, the good ones and the bad, the thought of all the love we shared and all the fun we had. If I could relive yesterday, just even for a while, I'd say goodbye and kiss you and maybe see you smile. But then I fully realized that this could never be, for emptiness and memories would take the place of me. And when I thought of worldly things I might miss come tomorrow, I thought of you, and when I did, my heart was filled with sorrow. But when I walked through heaven's gates, I felt so much at home. When God looked down and smiled at me from his great golden throne, he said, "This is eternity and all I've promised you. Today your life on earth is past, but here it starts anew. I promise no tomorrow, but today will always last. And since each day's the same way, there's no longing for the past. You have been so faithful, so trusting, and so true. Though there were times you did some things you knew you shouldn't do. But you have been forgiven, and now at last you're free. So won't you come and take my hand and share my life with me? So when tomorrow starts without me, don't think we're far apart. For every time you think of me, I'm right here in your heart." My eyes were misting as I put the picture carefully up on the dresser and continued to stare at it. She looked so strangely, hauntingly familiar. But of course she would look that way. We were blood relations and had shared more DNA than any other people on the planet, with the exception of my other two biological siblings. Whether we'd ever met or not, Betsy and I were deeply connected. The next morning, I was in our bedroom reading more of the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross book, On Life After Death, when I came to a story about a 12-year-old girl who underwent an NDE and at first didn't tell her parents about it. Finally, however, she could no longer keep it to herself and confided in her father. She told him about traveling to an incredible landscape full of love and beauty and how she met and was comforted by her brother. The only problem, the girl told her father, is that I don't have a brother. Tears filled her father's eyes. He told the girl about the brother she did indeed have, but who had died just 3 months before she was born. I stopped reading. For a moment, I went into a strange, dazed space, not really thinking or not thinking, just absorbing something. Some thought that was right on the edge of my consciousness, but hadn't quite broken through. Then my eyes traveled over to the bureau, and the photo that Kathy had sent me, the photo of the sister I had never known, whom I knew only through the stories that my birth family had related of what a hugely kind, wonderfully caring person she had been. A person, they had often said, who was so kind she was practically an angel. Without the powder blue and indigo dress, without the heavenly light of the gateway around her as she sat on the beautiful butterfly wing, she wasn't easy to recognize at first. But that was only natural. I had seen her heavenly self, the one that lived above and beyond this earthly realm with all its tragedies and cares. But now there was no mistaking her. No mistaking the loving smile, the confident and infinitely comforting look, the sparkling blue eyes. It was she. For an instant, the worlds met. My world here on Earth, where I was a doctor and father and a husband, and that world out there, a world so vast that as you journeyed in it, you could lose your very sense of your earthly self and become a pure part of the cosmos. The God-soaked and love-filled darkness. In that one moment, in the bedroom of our house, on a rainy Tuesday morning, the higher and the lower worlds met. Seeing that photo made me feel a little like the boy in the fairy tale who travels to the other world and then returns, only to find that it was all a dream, until he looks in his pocket and finds a scintillating handful of magical earth from the realms beyond. As much as I tried to deny it, for weeks now a fight had been going on inside me. A fight between the part of my mind that had been out there beyond the body and the doctor, the healer who had pledged himself to science. I looked into the face of my sister, my angel, and I knew completely, that the two people I had been in the last few months, since coming back, were indeed one. I needed to completely embrace my role as a doctor, as a scientist and healer, and as the subject of a very unlikely, very real, very important journey into the divine itself. It was important not because of me, but because of the fantastically, deal-breakingly convincing details behind it. My NDE had healed my fragmented soul. It had let me know that I had always been loved, and it also showed me that absolutely everyone else in the universe is loved, too. And it had done so while placing my physical body into a state that, by medical science's current terms, should have made it impossible for me to have experienced anything. I know there will be people who will seek to invalidate my experience anyhow, and many who will discount it out of court because of a refusal to believe that what I underwent could possibly be scientific, could possibly be anything more than a crazy, feverish dream. But I know better, and both for the sake of those here on Earth and those I met beyond this realm, I see it as my duty, both as a scientist and hence a seeker of truth, and as a doctor devoted to helping people, to make it known to as many people as I can that what I underwent is true and real and of stunning importance. Not just to me, but to all of us. Not only was my journey about love, but it was also about who we are and how connected we all are. The very meaning of all existence. I learned who I was up there, and when I came back, I realized that the last broken strands of who I am down here were sewn up. You are loved. Those words are what I needed to hear as an orphan, as a child who'd been given away. But it's also what every one of us in this materialistic age needs to hear as well. Because in terms of who we really are, where we really came from, and where we're really going, we all feel, wrongly, like orphans. Without recovering that memory of our larger connectedness and of the unconditional love of our Creator, we will always feel lost here on Earth. So here I am. I'm still a scientist, I'm still a doctor, and as such, I have two essential duties: to honor truth and to help heal. That means telling my story. A story that, as time passes, I feel certain happened for a reason. Not because I'm anyone special. It's just that with me, two events occurred in unison and concurrence, and together they break the back of the last efforts of reductive science to tell the world that the material realm is all that exists, and that consciousness, or spirit, yours and mine, is not the great and central mystery of the universe. I'm living proof.